Welcome to Generations, my friends. That's Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. I'm a father of five, and today I've got another father of five, Henry Ranga, in studio with me, a good friend from Chicago, Illinois. And as it turns out, Henry, you and I have a lot in common, not just the fact that we're fathers of five and husbands of one, but we are both pastors. Yeah, you're a pastor of Family of Faith Church in Monee, Illinois, and I am a pastor of Reformation Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. And here's the other thing. We started our church 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Same year.
Pretty much the same there, yeah.
The same vision, home discipleship, family integrated.
That's right. Same vision. Incredible. It's amazing. Apparently, the Spirit of God works in other places. And I think that's a manifestation to some of us.
Well, and I find it interesting, just moments ago I found out that we both were doing radio in our college days.
Yes, we did. Yes, exactly. Now here we are doing another radio program.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Well, let's talk about how we got this vision of home discipleship churches. And, you know, we just sort of fell into it. It was as if we were looking for another buzzword, okay? What we wanted was something that could sustain and reproduce in the Church of Jesus Christ. I mean, you only get to live your life, what, 75, 80 years, and you don't want to waste a lot of time. And I had seen a lot of failure over my past years in the development of the church in local areas throughout California and Oregon and Japan, other places. I had seen some, well, not failures, but some weaknesses, and I wanted to compensate for some of those weaknesses. And I know you had a similar experience yourself. Now, I want to begin today with a story that came out of the Colorado Springs Gazette about a year or two ago. They were commenting on a survey that came out that found that the highest divorce rate in Colorado was found not in Boulder County, which is very liberal, or Denver County, which, well, everybody knows what Denver County looks like, but in El Paso County in Colorado Springs, which happens to be the Christian Mecca. Okay, you've got more Christian ministries and more churches probably in Colorado Springs than anywhere else in the entire western part of the United States, but you also happen to have the highest divorce rate there. Now, they interviewed a number of megachurch pastors in relation to this story because they wanted to figure out, okay, now what are we doing wrong here if the highest divorce rate is at the Christian Mecca? You know, what's going on here? You know, we got a problem. Well, as it turns out, one of the megachurch pastors, in a moment of lucidity and honesty, he commented on this and said, I feel like I'm rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic when it comes to trying to pastor this church of some 3,000 people. Here's the problem, Henry. What you get with the average church today is a fairly large church, at least in the case of all these megachurches. You have 3,000 people and four pastors, okay? Because you can't afford 30 pastors or 50 pastors, but you can afford three to four pastors. So they get three to four guys on staff, and they say, guys, you're responsible for shepherding 3,000 people. What we have here, Henry, is a lack of leadership. It's an inability. Have you ever tried to pastor 1,333 people at the same time? That's an exercise in futility if I've ever heard of one.
Well, more and more, what is being acknowledged, even recently, Bill Hybels of a very large church in Chicagoland commented that as he looked honestly at kind of the megachurch or church growth style of planting, he commented and he said, and this is well documented now in the media, we should have taught people to be self-feeders and not now. What an incredible idea. But here's the trouble. The setup with most churches in America today is a spiritual foster care setup. They're not really teaching fathers how to lead families, mothers how to lead families. What's happening instead, the church's responsibility is to set up an organization by which the church relates individually to each person. So they have a program specifically geared to each person. Instead of a home discipleship, family integrated model, where the church exists to support and build the culture of the home so if the home wins, the church in turn wins. Now, in a home discipleship setting, you don't need to hire all sorts of people to effectively minister to all sorts of individuals.
Because what you have is a lot of people ministering to each other.
Yes.
And what you have within each of the families is a father, and hopefully a mother as well, ministering to the entire family. And you have this spiritual hothouse that's developed. And the result of that is a tremendous, what you call a spontaneous spread of home discipleship Christianity, a growth of the Christian faith throughout the generations. Well, Henry, why don't you talk a little bit to your experience? Because I know you were trying this mega church approach some years ago, and it didn't really go anywhere. You weren't seeing it really going anywhere.
Well, you know, as I look back at those days, of, you know, from the late 80s through the mid, you know, early 90s, as I look back at it, I have a lot of endearing memories of what God did do, despite the fact that we treated people as individuals related to the church. But I also looked honestly at some of our struggles. And here was an example. I remember when I was near the end of this kind of spiritual foster care paradigm, I remember we had our big grand opening at a church we planted. And in this church, you know, the people were just so needy. And our approach was, okay, we have to have a program for the twice divorced children of alcoholics. And I had my staff assembled, and it was like, okay, this was Monday morning, Tuesday morning after the big grand opening, and I was just kind of playing a little joke with everybody because it just seemed overwhelming because we saw all these problems. And so our solution was not to get them to open up the Word. It was not to get them to open their own Word in their own life, their marriage, their family. Our solution was we had to provide something. So, okay, twice divorced, children of alcoholics, who's going to take that group? Oh, how about you, George? You know, Pastor George, you take it. Leader George, wherever. And then the next one. Here's a group for overeaters who, you know, came from a dysfunctional background. We're going to have a group for that one. Okay. Oh, you know, the group for the moms, single moms who have, you know, children under four. Okay, I have one for that. You know, and it just went on and on. And what I did is I did this little thing. It just happened spontaneous where I went ding-a-ling-a-ling, hello? Oh, you need a group for the twice-divorced children of alcoholics? Okay, great. I hung up the phone. I said, that's your group. And I went through the whole staff, and we were all kind of laughing at it. But as we went on in this little spontaneous role-playing, all of us, our stomachs dropped because we were not going to create the spiritual foster care environment that was really going to bring indigenous spiritual growth. And that was near the end of my journey in that foster care movement. It was there that the Lord laid on my heart to how do we plant an indigenous home discipleship culture that actually helps people grow in their own personal lives in the Word of God through prayer, reproducing it, not just, you know, in their own life, but to also into the lives of their children and their neighbors.
And Henry, these conversations always go the same direction. We wind up talking about the problems with the church and the struggles that we have in ministering and so forth for 30, 45 minutes. We always wind up at the same point, and that is, man, I wish we had somebody in every home who would crack the Word of God, let's say every day, and teach their families God's Word. Boy, that would be really neat. If you had, you know, a pastor in every single home
right. In
your church, and then you got to thinking, well, wait a minute, that's a father. You know, so it would be really cool if we had fathers, you know.
Yep.
And then it would be really cool if you had elders and leaders in the church, many of them indigenous, most of them indigenous. Not going out and finding another professional pastor to ship in and take the youth or take the twice divorced children of alcoholics or whatever, but just leaders, you know, leaders that are come up within the church and they qualify to the Timothy and Titus qualifications that Paul laid out for elders. And you have, instead of one elder to 1,333 people, let's say, you know, roughly one leader, one elder to every 12, 13 families. Boy, that'd be cool. And before you know it, you've got, well, what I think Jesus intended when he talked about discipleship, and he chose, by the way, 12 disciples to be with him, and he prepared them for leadership. In just a moment, I want to talk about your vision for Christian Leaders Institute, a new vision that you came up with in just the last couple of years. Folks, in just a moment, more leaders for the Church of Christ. That's next on Generations.
With literacy rates falling and American schools approaching third world nation status in math and science, parents everywhere are concerned, and they're getting involved. That's why tens of thousands of families across the state of Colorado have turned to home education. For over 20 years, Christian Home Educators of Colorado has hosted an annual conference designed to encourage and inspire families anywhere along the path, from beginners to veteran homeschoolers. Throughout the year, they offer special introductory seminars, retreats, graduations, a news magazine, and a satellite school to aid in the required record keeping. CHECK also offers a bookstore complete with the best resources, tapes, and curriculum, all of which has been carefully chosen to equip and supplement your homeschool program. To learn more about CHECK, visit their website at chec.org.
Welcome back to Generations Friends. This is Kevin Swanson with you talking about the importance of leadership. Always important for any kind of a renewal or revival or reformation of society. In fact, the catalyst for any amazing revival of social institutions has got to be good leadership. And when you've got pastors saying, hey, we're rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic here, things are out of control, we've got dysfunctionality ruling and dominating throughout families, and we're unable to stay on top of all these things. Obviously, Henry, we've got a problem with leadership. We just don't have people with a vision for leadership within homes as fathers or within churches as elders and pastors. Henry Raenga is the author of Spontaneous Spread of Home Discipleship Christianity. And Henry, you came up with an idea called the Christian Leaders Institute several years ago. Why don't you talk about how you came up with this idea?
Well, first of all, here's the problem. We planted, years ago, same time you did, a home discipleship church. We planted a daughter church in 2003, and now we've planted 14 others. And we've helped other groups attempt to do that. And as we started helping groups to attempt to do it, we found that the big issue was we needed leaders. But and here's another thing. We just can't assemble a few guys, say, okay, go do this, because these are real souls and lives at stake. And when you're messing, so to speak, with real people and real lives, there is a needed training component, because there are things that are very important, whether it's in pastoral care, whether it's good theology, sound doctrine, that need to be addressed.
But what about seminaries? I mean, a lot of people out there saying, I thought seminaries were intended to prepare pastors to be leaders on this Titanic where you're rearranging the deck chairs. I thought it was for seminaries to do this sort of thing. You Why know, not seminaries?
Well, what's happening so often in seminaries is seminaries are going down to almost overtrain or not train leaders in their lives or moving them out of their homes, putting on them a, you know, $30,000 debt or a $100,000 debt or $80,000 debt, moving them away and then disconnecting them also from their community and any mentors that they have in their local community. To address this problem, we looked at this and it was actually my son, Henry John. He's in his last year at Calvin Seminary with his doctor or master's of divinity. And he said it has always been his dream to form an indigenous type of seminary that allows leaders to stay where they are. We give them the necessary training, but they stay where they're at. They stay connected to the mentors who are leading these men so that they can get the leadership and get the training to be able to function in these home discipleship churches.
Why do you think it's important for these guys to stay in their home community, Henry? I mean, we're talking about people not up and moving to an expensive seminary, but staying right there in their home church and hopefully getting some mentorship. Now, of course, I'm a huge advocate of mentorship. So right. Is that the main component here?
Yeah, that's one of the pillars. I think one of the pillars, too, is this concept of bloom where you're planted. In the end, you want a father to bloom where he's planted, lead his home. Okay. But then if he can lead his home, back to 1 Timothy 3, if you can manage your own house, how about managing in the Church of God? So it creates kind of an indigenous culture where Christian Leaders Institute can provide some training. Now, Christian Leaders Institute, we started last year. We had 6 students.
Okay.
This year, 35 students were accepted this fall.
This thing's really taken off.
the Lord also raised up some very encouraging professors, Dr. Vodi Bakum, yours truly over there at the mic.
That's right. I'm taking church history for you.
Right. Soon to get his doctorate, David Fettes, who's teaching two classes this semester. Now, you know, I'm teaching a class. My son is actually teaching, like, the classical languages. Jesse Powell. What's the one common thread, though, in these leaders? They're leaders in home discipleship settings who lead in such a way that build in these students, these men and maybe older men, this concept of discipling their families.
So what you're saying is your professors are not the ivory tower professors. These guys are actually, in many cases, homeschool dads, if not in all cases, homeschool dads.
Yep.
They are engaged in family worship. They're discipling their own children as they sit in their house, as they walk by the way. They rule their own households well. And they are involved in their local churches as well. These guys are pastors, too.
Yeah, and one of the professors I forgot to mention, Steve Elzinga, who also planted a spiritual foster care style church. We even have professors who have been there, done that, and because of been there, done their-ness, they understand that is not the way we're going to reach this culture for Christ.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about who would be drawn to a program like the Christian Leaders Institute. Obviously, we're looking for anybody who wants to be a leader in the Church of Jesus Christ, but also a leader in their own home, and a good discipler in their own homes. So you're looking at people who are 30, 40 years old, who have a couple of kids, or are you looking at young folks who have just graduated from high school and are looking for some training in Bible study? What are you attracting to the program here?
We have different certificates and different diplomas. Some of those certificates are dealing with maybe the homeschool grad. Okay, in our diploma program, we want a homeschool grad to have 60 hours of higher education level training to actually get like a diploma in ministry. However, if they don't do that, they can take the same thing and get a certificate of ministry. So that's one group that we're working with. We're also dealing with like fathers who, you know, have been around the block and elder training, maybe pastor training. So out of the fullness of their life in a 2-year time frame, they'll be able to get a diploma of ministry and get the key things like teaching about doctrine, pastoral care, hermeneutics, some of those classes, but right in their life using the internet. And if you have a fast internet connection, you can sign up and get a lot of support.
Tell us about how this thing works, Henry. It's mostly online, as I understand it, and it's semester long, so you go for 3-4 months at a time. How do they sign up for these classes, and how does it run?
Good question. We have an application process which also gives a testimony. You'll have some references to provide. And right now we're providing scholarships for those who are accepted. So it is no cost for the tuition. You'll have to pay for books. And if you are accepted, you can look at the various courses, and we will help you design courses that best meet your specific situation.
All right. And most of it's done online, so that is, you read your books, but you post your quizzes, post your essays online, and it sounds like it's a pretty straightforward process. And what you would say is that anybody who has some level of college experience would be invited into this program?
Yes. We're getting businessmen who are in their 40s who, you know, have owned their own business, and yet they are part of other kind of homeschoolers, home disciplers who want to do something, but they just feel that training, that extra little training. They have a mentor, or we'll even help them get a mentor if they don't have one, and they need that extra, something that they can do. Their wives are on board. We even do allow women to be accepted, but not in elder leadership track. This is more for their encouragement. Let's say they're ministering. You also have older women ministering to younger women. So we'll allow in some of those cases as well. But generally, we're looking for young men of God, to be called by God, and we will be a part of their training piece so they can effectively minister for Christ.
What is it, Henry, that works in the heart, to the mind of a man, to begin to stand up and say, man, I need to lead in my family, and it could be that God wants me to lead in this church that I'm a part of? I really need to step up to the plate. I think there's something within me that I can contribute to the church and provide some spiritual leadership in the church. Maybe not as a full-time pastor, all right? Oh, so not everybody's called to be a full-time pastor. But just to step out and say, I'm a man, and I've got some leadership that I think I need to share with the Church of Christ. I can wade into the lives of some of these folks. I can have them over for dinner, and I can minister to them, encourage them, edify them, build them up in Christ. I can reach out to other homeschool families where there are dads that are languishing. Moms are doing all the work. Dad has no vision. But I'd like to invite some of these families over to my house and share with them, encourage them, edify them, give that dad a little vision himself. I mean, what is it in a guy that begins to encourage him to step out and really get involved in leadership?
That's an excellent question. I think it goes back to the cultural mandate and the Great Commission. In the cultural mandate, there's this call to have dominion. And I largely believe that foundational net dominion is that God raises up men of God, to take that mantle and to not shirk back and be destroyed, but believe and are saved, and to be men who see their role, how God created them, and when that God would raise up these men. And I believe it's creationally inherent in us men. We men have got to get going. You know, in the homeschool movement, we have seen our wives, these warrior women who know how to shoot a gun for the Lord. We've seen these gals come forward, and they have crossed the line in the sand in terms of their roles. You know what's happening right now? Men are being raised up all over this country.
I think they are responding to this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they are getting that training. They are taking responsibility. They are reproducing the faith to their children. This is a great time to be alive. 10 years ago, when we were talking about some of these home discipleship things, there was like people would like have glassy eyes. What does this have to do with us? But today is a day. If you're a man out there, this is your day.
All right, Henry, you've got 300 folks in your church in Mooney, Illinois. I'm guessing, you know, 150 men or whatever, young men, older men, et cetera. How many leaders do you think you're going to see come out of your congregation?
We are developing leaders. We have 3 young men who have sought to be pastors and are working on that. We even have younger ones. We have a 15-year-old right now named Neil DeCook who took class at CLI, like doctrinal class. And it's exciting to see because these, you know, we need to have an environment in our churches where we encourage our young men to have a vision for leading and being called into that leadership.
So you're going to see some young men coming out of that congregation. Are going to be significant leaders.
And yours, too, and others.
And may I add, you're probably going to get 130, 140 men that will grow up and be fathers, too.
Yeah.
In that case. So you're going to see some fathers, and hopefully they've got a lot of vision that they retain from their own fathers and from the kind of ministry and the Leadership Institute materials that you've been giving them. So, yeah, I'm seeing this thing just taking off, and I'm hoping God will raise up many, many leaders. Folks, I tell you what, I think we need leadership far, far more in homes and churches than we do in the civil magistrate. Now, God bless Teen Pact and other Christian organizations that are really trying hard to raise up leaders for the civil magistrate. That is political leaders.
Yes.
But folks, if this nation will ever come back to the principles on which it was founded, we have got to have strong social foundations laid down in families and churches across this nation. And the only way that's going to happen is if we train fathers and pastors and elders today to do that job. And for more information on this Leadership Institute, how do they get in touch with you, Henry?
Go to www.christianleadersinstitute.org and check us out at christianleaders.org. You can also order my free book. You can read all about home discipleship, the spontaneous spread of it. And check it out. And if you know someone, call them up and say, you know, I think I have something you should go look at. Check out christianleadersinstitute.org.
And for the free book and more information on Christian Leaders, folks, it's christianleadersinstitute.org. And you can interact with our program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Folks, we're trying to lay down some vision for fatherhood, for churches, for rebuilding society, basically on the Word of God. And Henry, I want to thank you for joining me today and sharing some of that vision with our listening audience.
Thank you very much, Kevin. God bless you.
And let me ask you this, folks. Join us again, won't you, as we lay down a vision for the next generation.